Cracking Copy is a marketing and copywriting podcast where we lift the lid on writing for business and read between the lines of effective copy.
This is a podcast for creative entrepreneurs and savvy business owners like you who understand the value that great copy can bring to their bottom line.
We dive into a different aspect of writing for business in each episode, debunk the myths about how we should write, and explore the ways that writing can be fun, conversational, and creative, while also being high impact for serious results.
So listen, laugh, and learn with us, Ella Hoyos and Minnie McBride, as we share our words and wisdom in each snack-sized episode. Expect some light bulb moments, interesting guests, and practical takeaways as we crack the copy code together.
Welcome to Cracking Copy. In this episode, we are looking at sales pages and writing for a sales page and looking at the key things that you need to think about. So today, I'm interviewing Ella, which, well, as you all know, Ella is my co-host on this podcast, but she has a lot of experience and is brilliant at them. And so we thought a nice format today would be for me to interview Ella on sales pages. And really her expertise in crafting these killer sales pages to make more sales. So in this episode, we're going to look at the differences between sales pages and landing pages, because that seems to be a bit of an area that people get confused with. So we're going to be very clear on that. We're also going to look at long sales pages versus short, when you should use them, for what kind of products and services, you know, the pros and cons of each. And then we're going to have a little look at our top tips for all of them. So hi, Ella.
Hi, Minnie. Thank you. This is really fun. Minnie's interviewing me for the podcast today. And I will put this little disclaimer in because I know you've got a bit of a cold, Minnie. So there may be a few croaks on the podcast, but that's all part and parcel.
Yeah, I have to edit them out.
Yeah. But that's fine. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Minnie suggested to interview me because I have done quite a lot of sales page writing, and mainly for service-based businesses. But we'll come on to which sort of businesses use sales pages as we go through.
Real. So if we kick off with where we're starting, which is the grey area that people do get confused about, which is the difference between a sales page and a landing page.
Yeah, it's a great place to start. And because I'm quite close to sales pages in my line of work, I don't feel like this is an issue. So it was good for you to point that out to me, because actually a lot of people who are new to this sort of online promotion, online sales work, there is confusion there. And basically a landing page is a single web page where visitors land after clicking on a specific promotional link. It could be a Facebook advert or a search result. And the landing page will give visitors more information and sales copy around the offer that they've just clicked. So it has the goal of getting each visitor to complete a specific action or a conversion. So, for example, you see an advert for a shiny new course to learn how to play the ukulele on Facebook, and you'll click the link for more information, and you will likely get sent to a very specific page which wants one thing from you usually, and that one thing is your email address. You can use landing pages for so many things, though: to generate leads for your business, to promote multiple offers to different audiences, to validate a new product idea, so you can use it as a testing ground. And also you can use a landing page just simply to thank your subscribers, to thank people. So they tend to do one task. And the difference primarily, I suppose, with a landing page and a sales page: a landing page has one job to do, and that job is to capture people's data. Mm. A sales page also has only one job to do, but that job is to get the sale. And it's often a lot harder to get a sale than it is to capture an email address. I'm not saying capturing an email address is easy, and you're going to still need to incentivize people to do that. But a landing page is simpler. It's there to collect an email address, and from there you can sort of nurture any leads that you pick up that way through email marketing, etc.
Yeah, it's also a different, when you're writing a landing page, it's also a different skill, and you're wording it and messaging it differently. than you would a sales page. So again,
yeah,
yes, landing pages, another podcast for another day.
Well, but in brief, it's a more concise way of communication. You've got less space. You know, you've literally got a single page, and you want to keep that quite short, really, because you don't want people to get distracted. You don't want them to move on to the next thing. You want them to give your email address. So essentially, it's got three sections. It'll have the introduction or the description of what you're offering, sign up box to input your name and details, and then you'll get a thank you page once you've done those actions. Whereas the sales page, by contrast, has up to 16 sections of information. So landing page, short form copy, one goal for one conversion. And it's simple. And a sales page has one goal, but it might have many steps to get to that goal, many little micro yeses, micro conversions along the way to get people's head nodding and to agree and to buy into that thing that you want to buy. So it's much more complex. So as we said, you know, every landing page does share the same goal, to get visitors up, to follow through on a specific call to action. So that might be downloading a lead magnet, joining your email list, joining a community, signing up for a webinar, starting a free trial, subscribing to a private podcast, or requesting a demo. So there are still lots of things within that that you can use a landing page for.
Yeah, or promo codes as well. People use them a lot, don't they, for promo codes, 20% offs, things like that.
Yes. Yeah,
people
absolutely.
Do use them for that. You know, get your code here and we'll send it to you. Mm-hmm. So that's another one. I get that quite a lot, particularly with products rather than maybe than services.
Yeah. But in each of those cases, before you can actually access the thing, you have handed over your email address for that precious thing. So that's what it's for. So we could go into tips for landing pages, but if you want to move on, Mindy, we can move on.
Yeah, I think we should do landing pages on their own on a different day. And really, I think, concentrate. Well, now people know the difference. Light bulb moments, everyone. Let's look at the sales pages. And if we perhaps look at what suits your needs best in terms of the land, you know, when do you decide if it's a landing page or it's a sales page?
Okay. Well, first up, you should use the landing page to help increase your conversion rates. And while you might think, why don't I just share a link to my website? You know, the homepage is the obvious choice. You'd send somebody who's interested in your products and services to your webpage, the homepage. You could do that, but it's very vague and it's a very scattergun approach, because when somebody lands on your website, they could easily go off course. You know, that thing that they were interested in, that thing you promised them, the webinar or the promo code or whatever, once they're on your homepage, they're going to see links to your services or links to your about page or links to your shop. So you definitely pick a landing page over a web page, for example, because a homepage is on a website is like a hub. It's got several links to different parts of your business. So a landing page would be used as part of a pre-launch or a waitlist strategy ahead of you making a bigger offer. And that bigger offer you would need to promote through a sales page if it's an online promotion, if it's an online offer. So start with a landing page as a basis for that sort of pre-launch communications, get that person's email. Then you can run your welcome sequence to introduce them to who you are and what you do. You can nurture them with weekly newsletters and things like that to warm up those potential prospects in advance of any bigger promotion that you want to do later down the line. And that will build know, like, and trust factor with your new audience. Because as I think most of us know, as a lot of marketers know, you need several touch points with a prospect before they'll even consider buying from you.
Yeah.
So the landing page is the starting point. If you've got an offer to sell and you're selling it to a cold audience, then you need to warm that audience up first. And that's where you choose a landing page first. However, if you have all the leads you want, if you already have a big, thriving, well-nurtured, well-cared-for email list, then you're likely to be able to pitch your offer using a sales page. So, you know, the caveat is that the people on your email list are segmented, meaning you only speak to the segment of your audience that's particularly relevant for that specific offer that you're going to sell to them through the sales page. So they need to be segmented and primed already, and then you can go to them with a sales page to sell a bigger offer.
Yeah, because I was going to say, if you're doing an ad campaign promoting a new offer, maybe it's a new product, maybe it is something like a course, and you're doing an ad campaign to warm them up because they're going to be cold because they've come through an ad, the landing page, as you say, is a really good place to start, isn't it? Because that's, you've got their email, then you can nurture them and warm them up rather than sending them straight to a sales page where they have no idea who you are. They might just be, oh, yeah, just another, it's just some other marketing bro trying to sell me some shit. So
yeah,
I think it's, you know, that's a good opt-in page or landing page. It's a really good place to start, again, if you're doing a cold, you know, an ad campaign.
Yeah, yeah. If you hit someone with a big sell for an expensive product straight off before they know you, then that's really going to be a turnoff for the majority of people. So it won't convert. It won't do the job you want it to do. So that bit, that process of nurturing and warming up your audience and teasing and introducing a sale slowly, introducing a pitch slowly is much more sensible approach.
Yeah.
Yes. What I was saying about being segmented is, for example, if people joined your email list to get copywriting news stories and tips on how to be a better writer for their business, for example, we're using our own business as an example, but then you then go on to sell them or show them a sales page about a course on podcasting, that's not a great idea. So it really, you know, you do need to make sure you're saying the right thing to the right audience, because the other approach would only lead to confusion. At best, people won't buy. At worst, they'll unsubscribe. When we launched the course, Launch Your Indie Podcast, we were very sure to build a unique wait list of people who are only interested in starting a podcast. So we had a separate landing page before we launched our course. We got people onto that. We promoted it through talks and social media, and we promoted it to people who were interested in starting a podcast. And that way, when we were ready to sell our course, we were selling to the right people. So we kept our offer relevant and aligned with the audience's expectations.
We did. We also really, it was almost like a separate company, because we had a completely separate MailerLite account for email as well. So we've got our Cracking Copy account, and then we have got the Launch Your Indie Podcast account. So it is separate because they are completely different.
And then in addition to that, we have our own business email address list as well. But yeah, we're very careful to promote the right offer to the right audience. Mm.
Okie dokie. So now we've got our landing page, we've got people's email addresses, and we want to get people to our long sales page or our short sales page. So in your opinion with this, what does this mean, you know, when we talk about a long sales page and a short page, and when should you use each one?
Well, long and short form, you know, how long should a sales page be? It's like saying, well, how long is a piece of string? But there are some guidelines within that. But, you know, essentially we're talking about the amount of content on that page. There are some, if you're selling a high ticket, high price offer, there may be a lot of information on that sales page to consume to help people make an informed choice, to help them make their decision. So typically the more complex or more expensive the offer, the longer form content you will need. Because essentially the job of a sales page is obviously to get the sale, but you are taking your visitors on a journey through the whole buying process, journey from awareness of your offer through consideration and whether it's right for them to decision making and purchase time. So your sales page essentially will lead people. I mean, they're already going to know about you, your company. They wouldn't be on your sales, but, you know, they've come from somewhere. They obviously landed from somewhere. So they do know some, they're not completely new to your business, but they may be new to this offer. So your sales page has to do that whole job of converting them really from start to finish. A long sales page is, I suppose, to put it in a nutshell, you could say a long form sales page is for a hard sell, and a short form is for a softer sell, or for a cheaper product.
Cheaper product, yeah. Yeah, some of the long ones are like 6,500 words. I mean,
yeah.
really, when we're, and we're talking a lot, because you've got to get a lot of information in, haven't you? So
yeah, but they're always designed in a way that is pleasant. They should be, if they're done well, designed in a way that's pleasant to scroll. There are various buttons that you can sort of jump start. If you know you definitely want to buy this thing, you've been waiting for it for some time and you just can't wait for it to be released, then usually above the fold, in that very first bit of information you see with the sort of value proposition of what's being sold, there's usually a buy now button or skip to the set, you know, because most people want to know, they want to know what it is, but then they want to know how much it costs. So you can just skip the whole, you know, 6,000 words and just get to the end of the sales page, which tells you how much it costs. Or if you need more information before you can make that decision, then you can scroll. But usually they're laid out in such a way and they're wireframed and designed as a really user-friendly experience, so that, you know, they're broken up with colors, with images, with sometimes they have videos embedded into them, so they should be very well presented when done well. A long form sales page typically contains exclusive content, so often, like we said, often spanning multiple sections or pages. And it really is to thoroughly inform potential prospects and customers. It will include a detailed product description, testimonials, case studies, frequently asked questions. It will address any objections that people will have. And really, you will have done a lot of research before you write your sales page. You will have gathered a lot of social proof and testimonials. All that stuff is really valuable and crucial, essential really, to being on the sales page if you want to close that sale. And long form sales pages are often used for products or services that do require that more explanation or have a higher price point. And on the other hand, the short sales page, which we've only briefly touched on, but this is much more concise and to the point, minimal content, highlighting key benefits and features of the product or service. Short sales pages are really effective for products with much simpler value propositions or targeting audiences with limited attention spans. So how much do you know about your audience? How much can they cope with? I remember showing the sales page that we did for Launch Your Indie Podcast, showing it to my husband, who really hasn't seen many sales pages. He just doesn't buy courses and products online in the same way that I do. And he said to me, when can I stop scrolling yet?
And ours actually wasn't horrendously long, was it, ours either?
I don't think it was particularly, but he, I think by that point, he felt like he had all the information he needed. Did he really need to go on? Because he could just see this thing.
Did he want to buy it though? Did he want to buy it? That was...
Well, let's put it this way. He wasn't our target audience, Minnie.
No, that is true. But I think also, yeah. I think it's a bit of a telltale sign, isn't it? If you go on a sales page and it goes on and on and on, you're thinking in your head, this is going to be a really expensive course because they've spent so much time convincing me. And it's not going to be something that's $10.99 or something if it takes you half an hour to read. So
yeah. But you don't want people to die of boredom halfway through and just sort of be overwhelmed with the information. So it really is crucial how you present it and exactly. Give people a get out clause. If they don't want to keep scrolling, then you know, how can they just cut to the chase and make that decision? So that's where you use buttons and call outs and call to actions to help people navigate that page in a way that suits them. The short form sales page, again, particularly useful for impulse purchases or products with lower price points. I think you were talking to me about a t-shirt.
So a company that's maybe got a spring collection coming out, I mean, there's various ways they can do that. They can either do that through their newsletter. But quite often, you know, if it's if they're a new person, they might say, oh, you know, to get more information on our spring collection. And then they would send you from the landing page, the email, and then to a sales page. But that's going to be a short sales page. If it's a 20, 30 quid t-shirt, then you're not going to be getting loads and loads of copy in that if it's something that is a lower price point. Mm-hmm. So I think often, you know, quite a lot of products will do that. You know, this is our spring collection. And they'll have a sales page for that.
Yeah, but a simple one.
So,
you know, the various factors depend on the complexity of the product or service, the target audience, and how much they want to consume about that particular product, the buying cycle and specific goals of that sales campaign. I'd say you need to consider four things, really. The complexity of the product or service. if your product requires that detailed explanation or addresses complex pain points the audience might have, then a long form sales page might be more effective and might help build trust. Look at your target audience. So the preferences and behaviors of your target audience, are they likely to research extensively before they make that purchase decision? Or do they prefer just quick, rapid fire, you know, concise information? Like my husband, he didn't need to know all that stuff. So to tailor the length of your sales page to match their preferences and needs. And the only way you're going to find out their preferences and needs is by speaking to them, by doing that market research, by finding out how they've shopped in the past. That kind of stuff. There's the buying cycle. So for products and services that do involve a longer buying cycle or require significant consideration, then a long sales page will help nurture those leads and provide necessary information to convert.
Yeah.
And the goals of the sales campaign. So what is the primary objective for your sales campaign? For example, are you aiming to educate potential customers, to generate leads, or to drive immediate sales? So align the length of your sales page with the campaign objectives and the desired outcomes that you want. And both long or short sales pages have their place in marketing strategies, and the decision depends on these factors. But I think overall, you know, it's really important to test the different approaches, to analyze your performance metrics, and determine that, use that data to determine the best strategy. And that might come through experience and through multiple launches, and over time you'll start to build up that profile. But with every launch you do, with every sales page you write, be sure to track the data and see how well it performed.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you can't underestimate is the research, the customer research that you need to do before. And yes, you can test a short page and you can test a long form sales page, but to be honest, if you've done your research in advance and your customer research or your potential customer research, that should make your decision easier as to which one that you take.
What I will say, yeah, Minnie, is there is a site that I use. I do sales page audits for clients, and you can do user testing. So you can, once your sales page is ready, even before you've launched it, if you don't, you know, you can test it privately before you launch it out there in the world. You can do 5-minute user tests. So you can get, you say who your target audience is, say who you want to be viewing this sales page, and you can put it in sort of a dummy phase. It's live online for people to go and have a look at it, and you can see how they navigate the page. You know, it's like it sort of produces heat map data, if you like. You can see where people click, how long they spent on the page, they'll give feedback. So you can pay for this research to be done to test your sales page before it goes live, and then you can make the necessary tweaks and optimize it so that when it does eventually go live, you know that it's the best it can be, given, you know,
yeah,
you've already tested it out.
And it would be worth doing that if it's a high ticket item, wouldn't it? It would definitely be worth doing that, because what's the point in, you know, putting out a mediocre or a rubbish sales page for something that's going to cost a few thousand pounds? I mean, just it's going to, if it's going to be a damp squib. So you might as well get it written properly and then get it tested properly.
And even all that said, you know, a sales page, no matter how good the copy, it's that old saying, you know, you can't shine shit. If you haven't validated, if you haven't validated your offer, or you're selling a naff product that people don't want in the first place, then no matter how beautiful the sales page is presented, no matter how well good the user experience is, no matter how beautiful, amazing the copy sounds, it will fall flat and it won't convert. So you have to do that offer validation stuff before. Make sure you are selling something that people actually want to buy.
And that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I do think a lot of people get very, well, you can only look at Dragon's Den for that. People get very caught up, don't they, in their innovation or their ideas. But actually, if no one wants to buy it, you know, it's a bit pointless, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, sometimes, is it pointless? Sometimes you have to go through that process to learn those hard lessons. Sometimes you have to take your brilliant idea to the Dragon's Den for them to tear it down and tear it apart before you go back to the drawing board.
Perhaps, but let's have a quick look at the advantages and the disadvantages of the short sales page. So You know, so let's say I have a low ticket item. So what are the advantages and disadvantages, and also with a long sales page as well?
Yeah,
because I know that you've looked at those.
Yeah, the obvious one is a short one. This page is concise, so it gets straight to the point. It delivers that key information quickly. It doesn't overwhelm the reader. That doesn't necessarily mean it's easy to write short copy, but essentially it's concise. In theory, it should be quicker to write. It's more ideal. The advantage is it is ideal for an impulse purchase, effective for products with straightforward value propositions and lower price points. And it caters to those people who are fast decision makers. The good thing about short sales page as well is it's likely to be more mobile friendly, well suited for shorter screens and shorter attention spans, because there's less information to get across.
Yeah, I think that's a really important one. Yeah, I think that's a really important one, because most people, I think, now do look at them on their phones.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I can't remember the data, but essentially people are mobile first. So always think mobile first. Yeah. They're easier to create and maintain short sales pages because they're simpler and they require less time and less resources. But the disadvantage of short sales page is that it's a bit limited in information. Sometimes this brevity might not provide enough information to fully address your prospects' questions or answer their objections. They might not have all the information, and therefore they might not feel like they can make a decision yet. They might defer. They might decide to go and have a look in other places. So it could lead to lost sales. They're slightly less persuasive because they don't have as much space for detailed persuasion. So in that sense, it's possible you could struggle to sort of build the trust and credibility with potential customers. Mm. And they do have lower conversion rates. So great for impulse purchases, but maybe not for customers who need more information.
So if you're selling a workshop or something that's, I don't know, £30 or something, then, you know, it's a short, sharp, this is what you're going to get, it's 30 quid, you know, and then I'll send you a recording. So,
Yeah, even up to, you know, £100. I suppose when you're looking at sort of four-figure purchases, perhaps you're going to need a longer sales page there. But advantages of long sales pages, well, they are comprehensive. You'll have ample space to provide that detailed information, address any questions and concerns. You can build trust and credibility through a long-form sales page, through explanation, even through using storytelling. So that does give you more opportunity to build credibility and rapport with your potential customers, and therefore increase that likelihood of conversion. They're great for more complex products with more complex features or benefits that require more in-depth explanation. For example, if you're selling a car or a hi-fi, any sort of gadget that has a lot of, you know, high technical spec, people may need to know all those details to do a suitable before, you know, to assess the product before they buy. And the great thing about advantage of longer sales pages is those higher conversion rates at the end of all this. They're often successful, more successful at converting leads into customers because you've gone to the trouble of laying all that information out for people. So they've got everything they need to make that decision. Disadvantages, of course, it's more time consuming to provide all that information and to provide it in a way that's readable, that's that keeps people on the page, that wanting to sort of keep scrolling. That takes more effort. And there is a risk of overwhelming readers with a long form sales page. Too much information, people can't be bothered. It can be overwhelming. It can lead to decision paralysis if you present too much information and they think, well, this is another factor, I haven't even considered this. You know, had they not known about that X feature, then they may have just made that impulse purchase. But because you've gone to explain it at length, they're now asking more questions. It could throw up more questions. So that could lead to decision paralysis or loss of interest. Might not suit mobile users. And it's not ideal for all products. if you tried to sell a T-shirt with a long form sales page,
Well, it would be a waste of, people just go, well, what is it? Is it made of gold leaf or something?
I think people would get very skeptical as, why are you overselling me on this thing? You know, yeah. It's just silly. So, you've got to be sensible about it.
Thinking, if you're trying to write one for your own business, your options really are, you can either get someone like Ella or myself to write it for you. There are templates out there, aren't there? But there definitely is a skill to the order, and I think, and to the research behind it. So I think that is something that perhaps we could cover in more detail, perhaps in another episode, because there is an order to doing it, and there's a lot of information that you have to collate. And also for some products, as you say, you need to create some kind of videos perhaps for them. I mean, not all of them, but also things like video testimonials people like. So rather than a written testimonial from someone who's bought it before or who knows your company, video testimonials are very good. So actually there's a lot to think about. It's not just a question of writing a few, you know, benefits and just hoping that someone's going to buy it. As you said earlier, it's a journey. It's almost like you're taking someone through a journey, you're storytelling, and at each stage you want them to say, oh, that's a tick, that's a tick, that's a tick, that's a tick, so that when they get to the very bottom, it's like a no-brainer, you have to buy it. That's a skill.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And those ticks that you talk about, those micro yeses, those conversions, some of that is happening subconsciously. People aren't necessarily realizing that's happening as they're going through. But if you are writing in the voice of customer, sort of you're using words that your customer would use, you're explaining problems that they've felt, and they have really felt viscerally, and you can describe that and bring that emotion through with the presentation of the information, then it's going to be a lot more powerful. And there is absolutely a skill in that. There are also different styles of sales pages. So yes, you could buy a template, and there are plenty of templates out there that say you do this next and write this here and put that there. But will that suit your product, and will that suit your business? And is that in your style? You know, is that the sort of way you want to present this information and sell it? I'll just touch on three different styles of sales pages, because I think even if you were to go out there and use a template, whether that's a copy template or a web sort of design template, you need to customize that for your own product or service that you're trying to sell. So always customize. But here are three styles. So one would be the storytelling style. That if you've ever read Story Brand by Donald Miller, you'll be familiar with his portrayal of this, but it's the sort of hero's journey. The hero is not you with your amazing product or service that you're trying to sell. The hero is the customer. Yeah. And you as the seller are simply the guide that will help the customer succeed and, you know, win the battle at the end of the day. Whatever it is their problem is, the challenge that they face, your product or service is pitched as the thing that will help them have a successful outcome. So the Story Brand steps would be the hero, number one, has a problem, who turns to a guide, that's you, who shares their plan. And that's your plan is outlined in your sales page. If you follow these steps or do this, and you're going to, it calls them to action and it results in a success. Or if they don't buy that thing you're selling, it results in a failure. So I think that's one way to look at it anyway. I think that's an important component actually of a sales page as well. As you get further down into the nitty gritty, you need to talk about the opportunity cost, the thing that, you know, if you don't take our solution, you can carry on with status quo and perhaps in a year's time, you'll be in exactly the same place. But with our help, you buy this thing and we're going to get you to your outcome faster. It's an important point to make. Another style of sales page, you'll see this, we know this through our copywriting, it's very frequent, but it's the sort of PAS framework, the pain, agitate, solution. I've heard it called the PASTA framework. So it's a sort of, let me explain another acronym to you in case you haven't had enough.
So from past to pasta. Okay, crack on.
Well, instead of sort of pain, agitate, solution, pasta is like the problem of your ideal customer. You present that problem. Then you sort of amplify the struggle of them not solving it. So bring it to life a little bit more. And then you come in with your solution. This is the product or service. It will help you figure it out. The T stands for transformation. You want to transform the outcome for your buyer. And then you'll present your offer. So here's how we do it. Here's how you can turn this around. Buy this course, buy this program, what have you. And then the R in PASTA is to respond. And that means it's a call to action. This is where you want that person to take a decision.
Where's that acronym from? It's a good one, that one. Mm. I like that one. PASTA.
You know, I'm not sure. Edwards, whoever yeah. Edwards is.
It's a good one. I think yeah. That's actually quite, that's very logical to me, that one. And it's yeah. also quite long.
Ray Edwards came up with the PASTA framework.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then another one I've got here is the Bridge of Transformation. And this is another copywriter that I know, Billy Bruas. He is a coach and a copywriter for people like Tiago Forte, who wrote that book about building a second brain, if you've heard of that.
That's right,
David yeah. Perel, another copywriter. So he talks, his method is the five light bulbs, and he uses a bridge as the metaphor. So the person on the one side of the bridge who wants to cross the bridge to get to their transformation, to reach their promised land, if you like. And his framework would be about, you know, this is your status quo. You can do nothing and you'll still be in the same place in years' time. Here's some options that you've tried in the past. They may have not worked for you, and that's why you're here. So then you present your unique methods and frameworks, how people are going to overcome this age-old problem that they've had. You present your offer, the details of your course, your program, whatever it is you're trying to sell, and it promises this transformation to a new life. So you're basically helping people. The challenge, I suppose, is the raging river underneath the bridge. You know, you're helping people cross that it. Using this offer. Yeah.
No, that's a good one too. And I do think transformation as a tool in any copy that you're writing, any conversion copywriting, is just really key to think about that almost at the forefront as well, the customer
yeah.
and how it will change them, how it will help yeah. them, how it will make their life better. So
and to get to that place, you need to know what your customer desires, you need to know what their vision is, and you need to present this future version. This could be you. If we help you do this thing, you can have, you know, you can have this transformation. This can be your future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, is there anything else we're going to add today? I mean, I think it's something that we can take in more detail, perhaps, and talk about short form and long form, perhaps in more depth in future episodes. But we're really interested to know what our listeners say, what you think about sales pages, and whether, you know, the information we've got today has been really helpful, and if there's anything else that you need. And obviously, if you would like a sales page written for you, I would say Ella is fantastic at that. But you do yeah. an audit, don't you? So if someone has written a sales page, you can then take it yeah. on and make it amazing.
Yeah, if you've tried to sell things online in the past, you've done your own sales pages, and you've not got the conversions, you've not got the result you want, then I'd happily audit that. And I've got a very rigorous process to audit a page and see where it can be optimized. And sales pages, they're often not one and done things. They can be tweaked, they can be optimized. They're living, breathing things. So the next time you come to sell your offer, you've probably got more information. You've got the information from the people who bought, the people who didn't buy, and there'll be a whole, you know, mixture in between. But there are things that you can do to test and optimize that page, and that's what my sales page audit is all about. I'll give one tip though, one key tip for anyone who is interested in doing their own sales page and having to go for the self. This is something that Minnie and I both do, which is to keep a swipe file. So
yes.
I am a sucker for shiny objects. I'm a sucker, even though I know all the persuasion triggers and tactics that people use to write sales pages, doesn't mean that I'm immune to their charms.
That charm.
Say.
Well, I don't know. Do you think people in sales and marketing are actually more suckers for it because we're just open to it because that's what we do all day, every day?
You know? Maybe. But what I do now is where I notice that I'm getting sucked in something, I really want to buy that thing. It sounds so amazing. Is I will screenshot that. You know, I use, I think the tool that I use is called Awesome Screenshot, and it's a really good way to capture that sales page, because you have to remember is sales pages are usually only live for a short amount of time in that sales window, and then they'll get taken down. So if you want to look at something later, if you see a great idea, if you see a great tactic that someone's used to sell their product or service, and you think, oh, I could see that working for me, then keep a record of it, you know, keep a swipe file. It really helps when it comes to writing your own sales page.
Definitely. It's great. So I'm going to try that. So we'll put it in the show notes because I want to try that awesome screenshot, because I think one of the things that's really difficult when you're trying to screenshot something is, so does it, it'll do that screenshot the whole thing, will it, in one long?
Yeah. Oh, yes, it will.
That's brilliant. Okay.
Yeah. Or you can just click a segment, you know, you can take a segment, but there is it's free to a point, as a lot of these things are. They have a sort of freemium version, so you can use it so many times and then it'll ask you to pay for the thing. But it's of all the different screenshot type things I've tried, I really like Awesome Screenshot. It's one of my favorites.
We'll put a link in the notes, and we'll put some other links in the notes that we've discussed today. And thank you so much. That was great, Emma, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, thank you.
You have been listening to the Cracking Copy podcast with Ella Hoyos and Minnie McBride. Don't miss out on future episodes by making sure you hit subscribe down below to keep up with all our podcasts.
And more details and resources are in our show notes.
So we'll see you next time.